right. Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. I've got a migraine this morning, so that's why we're changing things up just a little bit. It's not really that bad right now, but just in case things take a turn for the worse, I'd rather throw up at home than here. So it might not be my normal smiley self, but we'll try to get through this okay. So actually, this is a pretty important Sunday. We've got a big announcement. Dove Cranson is going to be recognized as a pastor in the church, and so that's pretty exciting. So, yeah, you can clap if you want. And I'm not going anywhere. We'll be co-pastors. But kind of in light of that, I wanted to talk about church leadership, somewhat related to him, but also just generically as well. I think it's a really important topic if we look through the Scripture and just how God has used leaders and led his people. It's very normal, very common for him to take a particular person and use that person to help share his message or to encourage people or to lead people. And I think it's somewhat just the way we are. We need leaders. We need people who are kind of helping focus and direct us. Years ago, when I was in school in information systems, my junior and senior years, we had lots of different projects where we did different computer things and tried to work together. And you always had that awkward first meeting, and you'd have four or five of you, and you'd get together. And the first thing we always did was we tried to decide who would be the leader. And that's kind of weird because you're working with students who you don't really know, and you don't really know if they're very good academically. You don't know if they're a good leader. You don't know if they're a good decision maker. But I think what it really represents is we just saw it's like we need a leader. We need someone who can, you know, just kind of focus us and point us in the right direction and try to kind of hold things together. And usually that worked out pretty well. And so God uses leaders and works through leaders. And when I look at the kingdom, I think there's just a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a huge need for leaders. When we look at our society, when we look at just people's need for Jesus in our community, that need is huge. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the verse where Jesus said that the road to heaven is narrow and the gate leading into it is narrow and the path to destruction is wide and that very few find the right path. And it's a hard teaching. And you look at that, it's like, well, we need to do something, you know, and we need people to lead us to help make a difference in our world. And that's just with the gospel. And we can think of a lot of other needs. Poverty, the persecuted church, just social needs. We need leaders. We need leaders in all kinds of different capacities. In the church, we need leaders to be pastors. We need different ministry leaders. We need people to lead Sunday school. We need leaders of our homes. We need leaders in our workplaces. We even have leaders on sports teams. You know, people who just kind of help us go the right direction. We need leaders in different ministries that are serving our community and just making a difference in all kinds of different areas. And so I hope that leadership is something that we can all aspire to. I don't think God has gifted every person to be a leader or has everybody in a leadership role, but I think it's something that is something we should all consider of just not how can I lead, but God has a plan for my life. And can I help other people? Is that something that God has called me to do? And I think that's really just the essence of leadership. And so let's pray and we'll just look at this topic and see what God has to say about it. God, I pray that you would just use us to impact our world. God, I look at our church and even though we're relatively small, I see a huge amount of potential. We have a really good group of people here, and we have just a lot of people who love you dearly and who are just have a real deep spiritual background a deep knowledge of you, deep relationship with you, people who love you, Jesus. We have a lot of people who are really well educated, people who are gifted. And I look at our community and I see so much need and so much brokenness. And I really think it would be a crime if we just kind of stay within our four walls and minister to one another, and that's that. God, I think your plan for us is to have an impact on the world. And God, we want to do that. We want to step into, not just step into leadership, but step into any role that you have for us to make a difference. And most importantly, God, we want to help people spiritually, because that's the difference that has the longest lasting fruit. So we just pray that you'd help us this morning as we think through this topic. And God, even that you would just encourage us and inspire us and want us or help us want to give our lives to the fullest. And so I pray for that. And I thank you for Dove and his family. And just, boy, they're just such awesome people. And God, I pray that you would just really bless them on their journey. And God, I thank you for having them in the church, and thank you for the example of just love and compassion and kindness that they are, and a heart for your people. And so thank you that you've blessed us with their lives, and pray, God, you would just really bless this process as he's becoming a pastor. And just we ask that your hand would be upon this all. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I want to just look a little bit at how God chooses leaders and what God looks for. And I mentioned that there's just a lot of need for leaders in our community. I like this quote by Tozer. It says, "The church at this moment needs men, the right kind of men, bold men." We need bold women too, but I didn't say the quote. He did. And I like that heart. It's like, man, we need to step up to the plate and serve in any capacity we can to make a difference in this world. But God's not looking for just any type of leader. He's looking for a certain type of leader. And this is a little bit troubling to me, because I think in our society, and maybe even in the church, we tend to look for a certain type of leader. When I look at the political situation right now and the different people who are candidates for the presidency, I'm a little bit troubled. And I look at the people who are leading in the polls, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. And it is just really concerning. And I don't want to put down anybody specific or anything, but it's just, I don't know. I guess when I was growing up, it was different. I think 20 years ago it was different. Maybe even 5 or 10 years ago it was different. It used to be that if someone was running for president, you know, there would be a scandal or something, and it'd be like almost anything that came up, it's like, well, that's it. You know, they're disqualified. And now it's, we just don't care anymore. A scandal comes up and like, yeah, well, whatever. And I think our mindset is, well, whoever can get the job done. That's what's really important. We want a strong leader who can get the job done. And we don't really care about their character as much as, can they put money into our pockets? Can they save our economy? And I can appreciate that to some extent, but boy, that'd be nice if the economy was turned around. But I would rather have a person of character in office, even if they aren't the most gifted leader, even if they aren't great at finances or running a company or whatever. And so I think it's just an example of how I think as mankind, we look for something in a leader that's very different than what God is looking for. And so God's looking for character. In 1 Samuel, there's a story about basically Saul was the king. He was the first king of Israel. And he really wasn't following God very well. And at some point, God was done and said, okay, I want to raise up a different leader. I want a leader who is a man after my own heart. And so he told this to Samuel, who was kind of the priest slash prophet, and said, hey, Samuel, I'm going to get a new leader. And I want you to go and to anoint him. And I want you to go to Bethlehem and go to Jesse's family. And we'll just kind of see where it goes from there. I'll lead you from there. And didn't tell him who it was. And so Samuel went to Bethlehem, and they were all kind of excited about it. Like, like, wow, Samuel's here. This is exciting. What's going on? And he went to Jesse's family. I'm sure Jesse was thrilled to death that Samuel was there. And so Samuel asked to see Jesse's sons. And they came out, and he looked at I think it's Eliab is his name, and saw him. It's like, wow, he looks like he'd be a good leader because he's tall. And he's good looking too. I mean, what else do you need, right? You know, if he could help with the economy, then what else? I mean, you're set at that point. And so that's what he's thinking. And I suppose he's about ready to anoint him. And obviously, God, you know, you told me to come here, and this is really clear. And God says to him, no, that this isn't the man. I've not chosen him. I've chosen somebody else. I don't think the way that you guys think. I don't consider a man's height or his appearance, but I look at his heart. And so that's what God was looking for, a man after his own heart. And so then Samuel looked at the next son because he was the next tallest. And it's like, well, it's got to be this guy then, right? And no, I haven't chosen him either. And the next son, and pretty soon we ran out of sons. And Samuel was kind of confused, and he looks at Jesse and says, well, Jesse, these all your sons? It's like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess there is David. I mean, he's out in the field watching the sheep. And so they get David and bring him in, and you know the rest of the story. He becomes the next king. And he's the one. Even though he wasn't the tallest, even though he wasn't what everybody else would be looking for from a human standpoint and a leader. And God is looking for men and women of character. That's what matters to him. That's what he wants. Not just of gifting, not just someone that can get the job done, but of character. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 give the qualifications for a leader of a church, of a pastor. And we'll talk about this pastor, overseer, different words in a few minutes. But let's just read through that list. 1 Timothy 3:1 says, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. If you want to be a leader, that's a good thing. There's no shame in that. That's not an arrogant thing. God may have gifted you that way. He may have given you wonderful ideas. He may have given you just the ability to motivate people and stuff. And that's great to want to use those gifts. That's a noble thing. But that's not the only thing. As the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. And Titus gives a similar set of characteristics. I'm going to go ahead and read that just because there are a few different nuances in there. As an elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient, since an overseer is entrusted with God's work. He must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine, refute those who oppose it. And so to me, those passages really stand out as being very different than perhaps what we would come up with if we were going to come up with a list of what we would want in our next pastor. If you were just to come up with a list, that I might think, well, I mean, first thing is he's got to be a really good teacher because I'm going to have to listen to him every week. He better not be boring, right? And so you want someone who's a good teacher and who knows the word really well and someone who can tell a good story and is kind of funny. And I always think of Francis Chan. He's like the epitome of good speakers to me. He hits the nail on the head and he's strong, but he's funny and he's good looking, and, you know, he's just kind of got everything going for him. And so we might look for somebody like that, or we might say, well, and you know, he needs to have gone to seminary or Bible school because that would give him adequate training, and that would give him the background that he needs. And in those days, in the New Testament days, they could have said the same things, right? They probably wanted someone who could speak well. Maybe someone who's tall and good looking and just looks like a Dilbert type of leader, you know, and you just tend to think in those ways. And they had schools for, you know, training to be rabbis and stuff like that. And they could say, well, this would be really important too. And those things aren't listed there. And when you look at what is listed, it's primarily character-based. There are a few that aren't character-related. Like, he must be able to teach, which is funny. It doesn't even say he has to be a really good teacher, just able to teach. He needs to be able to defend the faith, sound doctrine, things like that. But generally, it's character. So just to kind of highlight it, just what's still up on the screen there, he must be hospitable. If you were coming up with a list of character qualities or of qualifications for our next pastor, would that have made the list? Probably not, because we don't think that way. You know, well, he's got to be a friendly person and reaching out to people and stuff. And hospitable, it's a character thing. Someone who loves what is good, who's self-controlled, who's upright, who's holy, who's disciplined. You know, you look at that, it's like, man, that's Dove. Now, Dove's also a really good teacher and does a great job with that. And he knows the scripture really well and those other things. But that's not all that we're looking at. It's great to be gifted, but the character is more important. If you can have gift and character, that's awesome. When we look at these qualities, these are really just the qualities of a strong Christian person. That's all they are. So it doesn't mean that everybody that has these qualities will be a pastor. But these are the qualifications. I believe there's also a gifting or a calling to lead in different ways. But these are the qualifications. One specific character area is that of servanthood. Mark 10:42 says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. And so, again, Jesus is highlighting, he's saying, hey, in the world, leadership runs a little bit differently. In the world, what happens is people get into a leadership position, and they rule it over people. You know, it's like the whole goal is to have authority, and to be prestigious, and to be able to tell people what to do. And Jesus is setting them straight and saying, hey, guys, that's not the way it's going to be here. That's not the way that Christianity is going to run. If you want to be great, then you have to serve. That's who's going to be the most important. It's not the leader, but the servant. If you want to be a leader, serve. You don't start with service. You start with service, and you end with service. It's all about service. And then he gives his own life as an example. He says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Can you imagine that? I mean, Jesus, he's saying, hey, here I am, the creator of the universe, and I didn't come down here to be king. I didn't come down here to have you all bow down to me and so I could exercise my authority over you. I came down here as a servant. I came down here to give my life, figuratively, daily, and literally, on the cross, as a ransom. Exchanging his life for ours. He's setting himself up as an example. He's saying, this is what it looks like to be a Christian leader. You give your life for other people. You serve all the way, even to the very end, even though it costs you everything. In 1 Peter, Peter, through the Holy Spirit, says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. So he's writing to pastors. He's saying, hey, to you pastors, I want to appeal to you as another pastor. So a little pastor huddle here. As a witness of Christ's sufferings and as one who also share in the glory to be revealed, Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And so in that section, what Peter is doing is he's calling them back to what Jesus had told them. Saying, hey, remember what Jesus said? You know, we're shepherding the flock. Shepherd's not a prestigious position. We're shepherding the flock. We're caring for people. We're tending to them. We don't lord it over them. We don't rule it over them. And I like where he says that they're to be eager to serve. That's really good. With our kids, that's something we want to teach them. It's not just that you do the right thing. It's not that you're just willing to serve, but you're eager to serve. Why? Because that's your calling. God called you to be a servant. Just like Jesus' mission was to serve. It's a way of life. Ephesians 2:10, it talks about how we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works. He has some plan for us that he's prepared in advance for us to do, things that he wants to accomplish. And so when you're smack dab in the middle of God's will, that's what you're doing, is you're doing the stuff that God called you to. You're serving. You're serving. And so he's calling them back to this. We should appoint those whom God makes leaders. The point here is that it's not just, we're not making Dove a pastor. We're recognizing that God has already made Dove into a pastor. We're not making him into something. God has made him into something. And we're just recognizing what God has done in his life. Matthew 23:12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The idea there's God raises up people. We don't put ourselves into positions. We don't put other people into positions. Psalm 75, 6-7, no one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man. It's God who judges. He brings one down. He exalts another. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then this is the clearest one related to being a pastor. It says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Who made them overseers? Who made them pastors? God did. The Holy Spirit did. He doesn't say, hey, you know, do a good job with the flock which I made you an overseer, which Peter made you an overseer, somebody else made you an overseer of. Take care of the flock that God made you an overseer of. So it's God's doing and not something that mankind is doing. The biblical model of leadership is not one that has a lot of hierarchy. It's a very flat model. Now, we can make up our own model. We can figure out a system of leadership that we think will serve us and work well in our church and in our society. And people have different models, and that might be fine. But the model that we see in Scripture is one that's a very flat model, and that would make sense when you think that a leader is a servant. Well, then you wouldn't expect a lot of hierarchy, right? Because the leader's just putting himself at the same level as everybody else. We're all servants. And so just when we look at these words, overseer and shepherds and elder, we'll see that they're really all referring to the same thing. In Acts 20:28, it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. We just looked at. Be shepherds. Shepherds is the same thing as pastors of the church of God. And so here we see that overseers and pastors are the same thing. And then the passage in 1 Peter that we already looked at, where Peter was talking to the other elders, we see that elders and shepherds and overseers or bishops are all the same thing. And so that's really the major component of leadership in the church, is that a church is pastor-led. Again, pastor means shepherd. So it's a church is shepherded by the pastor. Now, there are a couple other things that we see in Scripture. We see apostles, and apostles seem to be people who spoke into a number of different churches, like Peter and Paul. They were the ones who were the sent ones, and that seemed to be the role that they were taking later on in ministry. And then we see, we looked at the qualifications for pastor. There were also similar qualifications that would be for deacons, and deacons would be the servants in the church, which is interesting because even the pastors are servants in the church. And in our church, I would say that the apostles would be kind of similar to our regional director. But, I mean, that sounds kind of high and mighty. I'm not going to call John Meyer our apostle, but he takes that role of trying to serve a number of churches. And then in our church, the deacons might be similar to our ministry leaders and small group leaders and the speakers up here on Sunday mornings. And so it's a super, super flat model. And it's very heavily reliant on being pastor-led. And that can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable because that's not the way that leadership works in most churches. And it's not the way that it works oftentimes in our society and certainly not in our country. And so just to help explain the difference in our thinking here compared to a lot of churches, I'll tell you about my own upbringing, my own church. I grew up conservative Baptist, and it was a really good church. I think when I was young, I think it was pretty healthy. But they had a very different model of leadership, and basically they had a pastor, and then they had what they called a deacon board. And the pastor came and gave messages on Sunday, and then the deacon board kind of watched over the pastor and would help maybe coach him a little bit and redirect him a little bit. And if he got a little bit kooky or something, they might just decide, yeah, we're done with you. And so the pastor was a little bit more of an employee of the church than the shepherd of the church. And when we think of the different words for the church leader of being kind of pastor, elder, overseer, really the overseers were the deacon board. They're the ones that made sure that the church was running the way that they wanted it to run. And so I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's a model. And that might be a fine model, but it's not the model that we see in Scripture. It's different from that. And so the model that we're trying to imitate would be where God has raised up a leader and that leader is trying to lovingly lead the congregation. And that can cause concern for us because it's like, what if he goes nuts? You know, what if he starts leading them in a really bad direction? Well, there are a couple ways to deal with that. One is that we have this idea of the leader being a shepherd, but you might have caught in one of the earlier verses, I guess it's still up on the screen, there's a chief shepherd as well, right? Jesus is a chief shepherd. And so in this model, we can still entrust ourselves to Jesus that, hey, if this guy goes crazy, you know what? The chief shepherd can deal with that. He can figure out a way to bring healing and things. But the other thing that would be a protection is that in the New Testament, we see that leaders work together as co-pastors. And I'm going to use the word plurality, a plurality of leadership. It's kind of a churchy word for saying multiple leaders working together. And we see that in this passage we've looked at in Acts 20:28. And in brackets I have there in Ephesus, just to point out that in this passage he's speaking to a specific church, to one church. And to this one church he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So he's speaking to the pastors of one church, and he's saying to those pastors, keep watch over yourselves. So we see multiple pastors working together and watching out for one another. And so our ideal model would be one where there are multiple pastors, and that's actually the way we started out as a church. Financially, that didn't work real well. And my co-pastor, Tom Brown, which is not the Tom Brown who you see in the news in El Paso sometimes, that's an important point to make. But But our Tom Brown's a great guy, and he ended up having to move to Kansas to work with another ministry. But for the last few years, I've been pastoring by myself, and you know, alongside our other leaders and stuff. But it's really important for us to have a plurality of pastors, to have a group working together for the protection of the church, and then also just we bring different gifts to the church. And I love Dove; just he has a compassion and a kindness, and he's just different in the way he cares about people. Loves them. It's like, I love you guys, but you probably sense it's a little bit different than Dove loves you, right? You know, it's just different. It doesn't mean I'm less sincere, but I'm a very different person, and so we'll bring different gifts to the table and stuff, and I think that's a good thing. And then also in our church, we have kind of a chain of accountability that if you have a problem in the church, you have a concern, we're not following this doctrine, by all means, let's work through that. And this would be the way that you would do that. You would start with your church leadership, and you probably want to start kind of as simply as you can. That might be your small group leader or a ministry leader or whoever's, you know, if it's related to something in a specific area in the church, or to the pastors or the church board, which is just myself and Dove and Tom Schwieger. And if that's too weird, because of the nature of your concern, you talk to the regional director, that's John Meyer, he's down every 6 months or so, and you've probably seen him around, or the Great Commission Churches director, it's John Hoppler, or the board of directors, and generally you would follow that process, you would kind of work your way down that. I remember one time we had made a decision related to raising up a pastor one time in Colorado, and it was kind of a big deal. And some things went pretty crazy when this guy fell into sin. And so there was a guy that kind of questioned, like, well, why did you guys make him a pastor in the first place? We knew that he had done certain sins and things, and big deal stuff. And so he had some concerns, and really they were legitimate concerns, and they were things that needed to be talked through. And so what he did is he wrote a letter to the board of directors. It's very heartbreaking for me. It's like, you're my friend, you know, and we've labored together before, and you couldn't talk to us, you know. And so, you know, so then he came and talked to us, and he's kind of, oh, okay, well, that's how you guys see it. Okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. It's like, you know, that should have been the starting point, not the ending point of this issue. And so it's just good. We're going to have trials. We're going to have disagreements on things, but we need to try to work together on those things in the least flame out method possible. So, practically, if you want to pursue leadership, let me just give you a few thoughts. One is just live out the Christian life. You know, if you want to be a leader, as I mentioned before, the qualifications for a leader aren't really any different than those of just being a godly man or a godly woman. And so don't focus on leadership. Focus on your character, on being a Christian, and then living out your Christianity. So just start with the very basics of, I want to be in love with Jesus, and I want to follow Jesus. That's a great place to start. Be now what you would be if you were appointed as a leader later. I think sometimes people can have the mindset of, hey, I have these gifts and talents, and nobody's seen them. It's like, what's wrong with you guys? And if you would just appoint me to a leadership position, then I would really be able to help people. It's like, well, if you have the ability and the gifting to really help people, then no one's stopping you, you know. It's like, jump in there. Jump in there and help people and love them and serve them, and don't wait until you have some certain position to do that. Jump in there right now in the spot that you're in. Look out at the people, not at the position. You know, just like we can look at our society and we can say, wow, there's a lot of brokenness and it's really messed up. And, you know, someone needs to love these people and reach out to them and serve them. Same thing in the church. We can look at our church and say, oh, you know, this person's lonely. This person's not getting connected with. And this person feels unloved. And this person's going through this really hard time. We need lots of people. with their head in the game, serving and loving each other. I can't do that all, and Dove can't do that, and the two of us together can't do that all. The church body has to do that. And I won't do that all. I'll let balls drop. I'm not going to juggle everything because God's given me certain responsibilities that I have to do, like winning with my family. I've got to do that. So what's that mean? Well, it shouldn't be about me anyway as the leader, right? I'm a servant trying to serve as much as I can and as much as God wants me to, but we're all called to service. There are plenty of needs in the church. And jump in and meet as many as you can or as many as God leads you to. And then just one more practical thought. Don't focus on asking, what do I get out of this? But what can I put into this? Not what's wrong with this place, but how can I make this a better place? That's a great change of mindset. You know, I don't think Jesus went to meetings with the other guys and left and was like, they didn't sing the song I wanted to sing. They never sing my favorite song. You know, it wasn't about what he was getting. He was there building into people and serving them and loving them. It's like taking every moment to help people. And so we want to imitate that same thing. And sometimes we just don't think in those practical ways. I talked to a guy one time. He wanted to get together, and we met for breakfast or something. And I pretty much knew as I was driving over there, it's like, oh, he's going to leave the church. And sure enough, he was going to leave the church. I'm like, all right, well, I kind of saw this coming for a while. And he's a really gifted guy and just had some really... You know, he had led some different groups of people before and had been, you know, he's just really talented and super smart. And so he was kind of frustrated because I think the church or I hadn't kind of recognized these gifts. And so he was going to go to a place that was going to put him in a leadership position, just kind of boom right off the bat. And so, you know, he wanted my thoughts and stuff, and you know, I'm like, well, I need to be real honest with you. And I said, well, here's the deal. I'd actually thought about you being a small group leader and stuff, but you're just not at that point right now. You know, when we have small group, we have a time where we kind of share some verses and stuff that you know, God's been teaching us or something that God's put on our heart. And I'm like, you know, during that time, you never share anything. And during the discussion, we talk about Scripture and how we can apply it to the life. And you never share anything during that. You're just not building into people. And at our fiestas, we have opportunities to kind of share what God's been teaching us and stuff. And you know, I've never seen you share anything there. And we have our prayer meetings, which I knew that he could make. And I can appreciate if it's too early for you or whatever. But I knew that he could make it. And like you've never come to prayer meeting except once when I had breakfast with you right before the prayer meeting, and maybe you felt obligated or something. This is the only time. And then we have our leadership meeting, our men of God meeting, that you've never been to. And you don't serve in the church. And so I look at you and I agree. It's like you are very gifted, and I know you're going to go somewhere else, and you're going to be a leader. And I honestly think you'll be successful because you're gifted. But this isn't what God has called us to. You need to grow. And you need to live it out, not based upon whether you're a leader, but if this is what you want to give your life to. And is this pouring out of your life because you love people? And so I just wanted to share that, just kind of highlight that there's a difference in thinking there. Is it about my gifting, or is it about what God's doing in my life, in me and through me? And so I guess I just want to encourage you guys to want to lead, to want to influence others, to want to make a difference in the world, again, because the need is so great, and encourage you to be used by God to your fullest, whatever that leads you into. Maybe you'll be a pastor. Maybe you'll be a missionary. Maybe you'll be an awesome parent. Maybe you'll be an incredible Sunday school teacher. Maybe you'll do prison ministry or the bar outreach or whatever. There are so many different ways to serve. God doesn't have us all do the same thing. But I encourage you, wholeheartedly give yourself to what God has called you to. So I just want to end on a couple of practical things related to Dove, questions you guys might have. Just in making this decision, this is something that, I don't know, I guess it kind of hit me. I've been watching them, you know, over the years, but probably 6 months ago or so, I talked to Dub and said, hey, you know, I think maybe God's doing this thing in your life, and you might want to be thinking about this. And I think God had already been talking to him about it as well. And I talked to our regional director, John Meyer, and he thought it was a great idea. And I talked to our small group leaders, and everybody thought it was a great idea. And again, it's not that we're making Dove a leader. We're just recognizing what God has been doing. And I can't remember even who said stuff to me before, but I was getting a little bit sick of people coming up to me and like, so Steve, when's Dove going to become pastor? It's like, I don't know. We'll see. And especially my kids. It'd be like every time we drive home from church, oh, Dove, I really like it when Dove speaks. You should think about him for being the next pastor. And to the point that you feel a little bit like, they like him a lot more than they like me, you know. They're really excited about it when he speaks. He should speak every week. A number of people have been in on this decision, but also this is something that we're throwing out to you guys as the congregation. If you have any concerns or question about Dove or Holly or their family, by all means, I want to hear those. And this is really important because he'll be the shepherd of us. And he'll be my co-pastor. I'm not going to be the lead pastor. He'll be my co-pastor. Because God has made him an overseer. So God has given him a responsibility. And he shares that responsibility with me. And so we'll be co-leading. And I don't want you guys to get stuck with someone who's not qualified, and I don't want to get stuck with someone who's not qualified. So if you know something that you think I should know, by all means, talk to me. I don't expect anything like that, but by all means, talk to me this week, please, so that we would have some time to kind of work through things and figure out if it's a showstopper or what we should do from there. We're planning on having some kind of celebration night, ordination night around October 10th. And he'll be here next week sharing his testimony. I think probably most of you are familiar with him and know who I'm talking about. But if not, you can come next week and hear Dove. He spoke last week, so he's that guy. And then you probably have questions about hiring him. How's that going to work? And basically, we don't know yet. We're just headed down a path. We see that God has raised him up to be a leader. And so we're going to start with that, and then Dove and I will have to kind of sort through and look at the finances. My heart would be is that we would bring him on as full-time as possible, as quickly as possible. And so we'll just need to try to kind of figure out how that can happen. Again, if God has called him to lead the church, I think that it would be best if he had the time to actually do that, and not the burden, but without the time. And so I think at some point we'll do a fundraiser related to that. I know that it's something that I would be willing to help make happen, and I would sacrifice some financially, personally, because I think that it's a really good thing for our church and really healthy. And I imagine that there are other people who would be willing to do that as well. And so we'll take a look at our finances and just try to figure out what we would need and what would be a good, prudent plan related to that. Another question you might have is related to just kind of the division of responsibilities. And you might think, oh, you're not leaving, Steve, and you're going to go and be on the other side the whole time. Or you might be concerned the other way, of we're not stuck with you, are we? You know. And so I don't know exactly how we'll do that either. My thought, and since I'm the only pastor right now, it's the current plan, but as soon as Dove comes on, this could change. But my thought would be is that we would try to continue something similar to what we're doing now, that both Dove and I would go back and forth, maybe focus on one side a little bit more than the other. But to go back and forth some and to continue to have some other men in the speaking rotation, because that's not something we do just because we need more speakers, but it's because we think it's a good idea as well. It's good to hear from the other godly men in the church. And so I know that some of those are kind of vague responses, but that's kind of what we know so far. So that's kind of where we're at. And I guess if you have any questions or any concerns, please talk to me as soon as you can. I also want you to think about this personally, you know. What does God have for you? You know, how can you be fully used by God, especially in spiritual things? It's something I encourage you to think about. So let's pray, and the band's going to come up and do some more songs. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for what you've done in Dove's life. God, I just love him, and he's just such a great guy and has such a heart for you and a heart for people. And thank you for his family and for Holly and what a great influence she is in the church and just ministering to people and the wisdom that she has. And thank you just for their kids. And just think of those qualifications there and how Dove has done such a great job leading his family. And all those different areas, it seems like, boy, it just seems right on target. And so I just pray, God, you would really confirm that over these next few weeks and confirm that even through our congregation. And God, I pray for each one of us, God, that you would help us just to know what you're calling us to. God, we don't want to take a bunch of things on just to kind of be in important positions, but we do want to serve you. And sometimes that means we need to step in to things that are hard. We need to step out of our comfort zone. We need to take on responsibilities that we would rather leave to somebody else. And God, I pray you just give us wisdom and all that. So we just love you and thank you for this time here. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.